Hillerich, from Louisiana, Richard Hooten, from St. Anthony Village, Minnesota, Jerry and Joan Hoffman, from Hillsboro, Oregon, Rita Noller, from Seattle, John Munson, Kari Munson, Meg, Emily, and Allison. And a guest group from Federal Way, Nancy Trelstad and Al Trelstad, Neil and Sandy Cook, Gerald Daly, Janet Freeman Daly and David Freeman, Craig Hoopler and Christina Hoopler, Sandy, is it Clunas? Clugness from Auburn, Washington, and Keith. And from Kent, Washington, Norma and Doris Nelson, thank you. From Federal Way, Philip Sell and Sally Sell. From Puyallup, Mary Stoby. From Federal Way, Vernon Warmbo and Jean Warmbo. And from Prince of Peace, Stephanie Atkinson from Everett with Duncan Atkinson. Michelle Autio and Laura Autio from Everett. From Bothell, Pamela Dahl, Tyler and Monica Dahl. From Shoreline, Washington, Marigold, is it Grote? Grote. Thank you. And from Seattle, Washington, Pam and Julia Russell. Also from Seattle, A.J. Skirdahl. And Kemper Skirdahl and Eric. And from St. Andrews in Beaverton, Ida Gay from Great Falls, that's from Great Falls, Montana. And Sharon Faco and Dan Faco. From Beaverton again, Ed Franzen and Linda Franzen, Maria Franzen. From Portland, Judy, is it Geist?
Geist,
thank you. And from Beaverton, Eric Luttrell and Jan Luttrell. From Beaverton, Jay Meredith and Pam Meredith. Frank Piscitelli from Hillsboro, Oregon. With hey, I grew up in Philadelphia. Lots of Italians there. With Tammy, Deanna, and Michelle. From Portland, Roger Sandquist and Pat Sandquist. From Beaverton, Dick Snyder and Mary Ann Snyder. From Portland, Jennifer Trom. And from Portland, Larry Vishal. Pardon me? Vockel. With Phyllis Vockel. And from Beaverton, Laura Bancroft and Madison Fogel. From Portland, Oregon, Chris Weiss, Abigail, and Kimberly. From Vancouver, Sherry Franzen. And from Seattle, Ann Cohan. We have some folks here who are guests for our convocation, which we will be telling you more about in a few minutes, and I'll introduce them to you now. Some of whom were on the staff with Paul Carroll and I in the 70s. Dawn and Caroline Coffey, Will Mochan, Christopher Gutierrez and Mark Pritchard from San Francisco. From Santa Cruz, James Lapp. Also from Santa Cruz, Leslie, Kyle, Rachel, and Nathan. From San Diego, Suzanne Lovejoy and Mariah Lovejoy. Wellington, Florida, Marjorie Weiss and Angela Dare. From Florida, Greg Millerhouse and Sally Millerhouse with Corey and Kara. From Chicago, Stacy Jutilla. From Newton Center, Massachusetts, Melissa Kreider. From South Haven, Michigan, Robert Lindstrom, Rebecca, John, Ben, and Sam. From St. Paul, Minnesota, Margaret Lovejoy and Donovan O'Dowd. From Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Joel and Sarah Cui with Stefan. From Stillwater, Minnesota, Mike Wilkie. From Raleigh, North Carolina, Diane Amidon and David. From Wilmington, North Carolina, Rebecca and Mark Upgrand. From Portland, Oregon, Elizabeth Chick. LaGrande, Oregon, Sarah Stanton. Houston, Texas, Kathy Palmer and Herbert Palmer. Seattle, Washington, Kristen Anstett and Scott. Shoreline, Washington, Casey Howe and Ann Dwyer. From Acme, Washington, Linda Gamrath. From Tacoma, Washington, Carol Ockfen, Tasha, and Court. From Chehalis, Washington, Laura McCary and Nadine Sanders. From Sammamish, Washington, Marnie Stromseth and John. From Minneapolis, Hertha and Chuck Lutz. And from Burke, Virginia, Stefan Gramsch. And also, there's some folks, you may have noticed all the roofing material up in the Chalet Hill. Some of the chalets are going to get new metal roofs, and the folks doing that are Kevin Huguet, Judy Huguet, Raul Guerrero, and Miguel Mendoza. Now, is there anyone whose name I forgot? We like to say around here that when the bus door opens at Holden Village, God blesses the place once again, and wow, today he really has. Welcome to Holden Village. And now I invite everyone who will be leaving the village tomorrow, if you would please stand. We like to pray for everyone as they depart. Let us pray. God of love, we come before you now with thanksgiving, thanking you for all of the ways these brothers and sisters have blessed this village and refreshed this place and shaped it with their presence. And now we ask them to be sent out into the world as signs of your love and light. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. My name is Paul Shadwald, and I am a member of the Lilly research team that helped coordinate, or is helping to coordinate, the convocation that is going on this week at Holden Village. The other members of the team are Chris Johnson, who is there in the purple, and he's there with his family from Gustavus Adolphus College, and Gary Hesser, and I don't know where Gary is seated. Could Gary stand up? Could you wave your hand, Gary? I think you're here. From Augsburg College in Minneapolis. And Lucy Forster-Smith, who is the director of the Lilly program at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota, will be joining us shortly. The pastor asked me to just do 3.5 minutes really quick on the research convocation. I'm keeping it to 3.5 minutes so that he would have enough time for his 45-minute sermon tonight. So I'll keep it really nice and short. A short time ago, Holden Village received a grant from the Lilly Foundation to really work around how Holden Village has served as a mentoring community for young adults, how it served as a place of renewal for adults, and how it's served as a place of nurturing for children who have grown up in the village. And one small component of that Lilly research grant is for our team to interact in various ways with people who either grew up here at various decades in Holden's history, who came here as young adults, or who came for very short periods for sabbaticals. And so one piece of our research is bringing together 30 people here at Holden Village, right around 30 people, to do some reflections and some sharing about their experiences at Holden Village. And we really see this as a ministry to Holden Village, as a way for us to reflect back on Holden Village, about its history, about the rich stories that have been here, and about some of the experiences that are here. And so we ask for your prayers as this convocation is going on. In addition, there will be some moments where there will be some intentional intersections between the people who are here at the convocation and the rest of the people who are here to enjoy Holden Village or to come for the programming. One of those intentional intersections will occur on Tuesday evening, so we'll announce a little bit more about that, but that'll be a way for some cross-sharing to go on between the people who are here for the convocation and other people who would like to share their stories and ask questions and interact with the people who are here. The people encompass, again, a broad range of people, from here people who were here for only a few weeks to people who have spent an extended period here at Holden Village. And as part of our way of introducing the people who are here at the convocation to you all and to introduce themselves to one another, is we asked each of them to bring one object with them from wherever they're from that symbolized how Holden Village has impacted their life beyond Holden Village. And so I wonder if the people who are here for the convocation could stand up. And we've asked them to bring their object here to the worship service tonight and to come up and lay it at the table so that people can see. And they'll be explaining it a little bit later on. So if you've brought your object, if you could just come forward and put it right at the table here at the altar as kind of a welcoming and an initiation to the convocation tonight. And so if you have a chance before the worship service ends, these are great points of conversations too. Everything from a dirty boot to the Bible to where the sidewalk ends. So a great collection of items. And after you have a chance to look at these, we're also asking the people who are here for the convocation, just a reminder to them to collect their items after tonight's service. And we'll be meeting after the service just to have a welcome to the group in Chalet number 2. So if the people who are here for the convocation after the service can collect their items and just bring them to Chalet number 2, to our meeting room, that would be great. And again, there'll be some moments for intentional interaction with us as the week goes on. Thank you.
Welcome to worship on this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. We have 3 excellent lessons this evening. I will, however, be preaching only on the second lesson, the lesson from Ephesians. While I will not be preaching on either the first lesson or the gospel, they are nonetheless important texts, and I commend them to you. There will be other aspects of our service that will comment in some way upon them. We are so happy that you are here to celebrate this summer season with us here at Holden. Your presence is a real gift to us, and we appreciate your being part of our worshiping community. As part of this community, you are welcome at the banquet table. Jesus' meal is for everyone. No matter what your background or beliefs, you are welcome to commune here. For worship this evening, you will need a Now the Feast and Celebration worship booklet, a With One Voice hymnal, and a Renewing Worship songbook. They're available at the rear entrance if you do not have them. Our gathering hymn is from With One Voice, and it is number 781, 781, My Life Flows On in Endless Song. And we will rise to sing that. We continue in the Now and Feast and Celebration book. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God.
Let us pray. Bread of life, you taught us to put away bitterness and anger, and with tender-hearted kindness to share the fruit of our labor with the needy. Strengthen us by your grace, that in communion with you, we may forgive one another and live in love as Christ loved us. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated as we listen to our lessons.
A reading from 1 Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." Elijah looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." Elijah got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are parts of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath, and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
I invite you to rise to sing the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
The Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus explained to them, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will be thirsty." The temple authorities started to grumble in protest because Jesus claimed, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They kept saying, "Isn't this Jesus begot of Mary and Joseph? Don't we know his mother and his father? How can he claim to have come down from heaven?" "Stop your grumbling," Jesus told them. "No one can come to me unless drawn by Abba, God who sent me, and those I will raise up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard God's word and has learned from it comes to me. Not that anyone has seen Abba God, only the one who is from God, who has seen Abba God. The truth of the matter is, those who believe have eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. And if you eat it, you will never die. I myself am the living bread come down from heaven. If any eat this bread, they will live forever. The bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Holy wisdom, holy word. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, during documentary producer John DeGraff's sessions, economist John Wallace kept interrupting. He had some very legitimate things to say, but I thought they were just a little bit like nitpicking and in some ways thwarting the conversation. And I finally said something which was rather pointed. Professor Wallace caught me just before Vespers, 20 minutes later, And let me know in no uncertain terms that he did not appreciate my remarks. And that as village pastor, I should think before I speak. I gave him a piece of my mind, and he gave me a great big hunk of his. I didn't sleep that night. My mind went round and round about what I had said. The next morning at breakfast, I wished John a good day, and John wished me a good day, and we both apologized, and we both embraced. And that night, I could sleep. I'd like to read William Barclay's translation of the first part of our second lesson, Ephesians 4. So then strip yourselves of falsehood, and let each of you speak the truth with your neighbor, because we are all members of the same body. Be angry, but be angry in such a way that your anger is not a sin. Do not let the sun set on your wrath. There are, in fact, two different Greek words for anger in that passage, which neither the New Revised Standard Version nor the Inclusive Bible acknowledge. You see, there is anger, and there is anger. Or, as Barclay puts it, there is anger, and there is wrath. Let me start from a slightly different point of view. A couple of weeks ago, Mark Burroughs, who is professor of church history at Andover Newton Seminary, did a session on eros and agape, two different Greek words for love. His point was that while we Christians often talk about sacrificial, self-giving love, the love of God, which we call agape, we too often give short shrift to eros. Too often we think of eros simply as sexual love, which it can be. But the word eros also means passion. And one of Mark's points was that in the church, there are times when we need passion. There are things worth being passionate about. Holden has been passionate about a number of issues over the years. We've been passionate about ecology. Perhaps some of those reasons might sound a little bit selfish. Because of global warming, the glacier which supplies the water power for our hydro is rapidly melting, and within 10 years that glacier will be gone, and the water for our hydro will be gone with it. But I think our passion about ecology isn't simply self-centered. We're concerned about the whole earth and what destruction of the whole earth will do to all of God's creatures. We're passionate about civil rights. We're passionate about the needs of minority communities. We just had a marvelous week of abriendo with our Hispanic brothers and sisters, many of whom are citizens of this country, some are guest workers, and some who are illegally present in this land. And we've got a passion about justice for them all. We've got a passion for economic issues, the issues which split families between husbands and wives because they can't make sufficient incomes to provide for their families. We've got a passion about war and peace and the inhumanity which is so much a part of our culture and our society. We're passionate about a lot of things. Okay, let's move from passion to anger. Anger is a legitimate Christian emotion. Let's return to William Barclay's translation and to his commentary. Barclay argues, there must be anger in the Christian life, but it must be the right kind of anger. There is an anger without which the world would be a poorer place. Barclay uses the illustration of the great British lexicographer Samuel Johnson. When Johnson saw something that was wrong, he said so with force. Once he was asked to restrain himself, and Johnson replied that he couldn't cut off his claws nor make his tiger a pussycat to please anybody. Barclay adds, there's a place for a tiger in life. And when that tiger becomes a tabby cat, something is lost. Barclay then goes on to talk about the passion and anger of Jesus. There is such a thing as righteous indignation, and Jesus showed it more than once. However, St. Paul goes on to say in today's lessons that those of us who see ourselves as followers of Christ should never let the sun set on our anger. Be angry, but be angry in such a way that your anger is not a sin. Do not let the sun set on your wrath. Let me suggest that in life there should be both eros and agape, both passion and sacrificial, compassionate love. However, our passion, our righteous indignation, our anger should not be sinful. That is, it should not be destructive, either destructive of other human beings or destructive of ourselves. In our anger, we should not dehumanize those who have a different point of view. We can disagree with them and disagree with them even passionately. But in the process, we must see those with whom we disagree as sisters and brothers, children of God, and heirs of the realm of Christ. We can express our passionate concern, but at the end of the day, we must be able to live with and love those who disagree with us or who take a different path. To see those who disagree with us or who take a different path as less than human is to let our wrath become, as Paul says, sinful. Having said that, if we do not turn our eros into agape, our passion into compassionate love, at the end of the day, we destroy not only others, but ourselves as well. We can't sleep. We can't turn our minds off. We can't let our bodies rest. We can't give our physical, mental, spiritual selves an opportunity to heal. If we let wrath rule at the end of the day, our bodies themselves self-destruct. This past Tuesday, the bishop of the Southeastern Synod filed formal ecclesiastical charges against Brad Schmeling, the pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Atlanta, charging him with being in an open relationship with his male partner. Once an ecclesiastical jury is formed, the church has 60 days to hold a trial and 15 days to render a verdict. For those of us who have sought a place in the church for partnered clergy, this comes as a difficult setback. It is a matter of justice. It is a passionate topic for many of us. But how shall we respond? Pastor Schmeling wrote in an open letter, "I am filled with all kinds of emotions, hope, anger, disappointment, joy, resolve." I think Brad's words are instructive. He writes, "Despite the challenge of the first communications from the bishop, I am absolutely committed to being part of this process in a way that points to the love of Christ." How else can we live out the passions in our lives? Paul, who was no stranger to contention, wrote, "Be angry, but be angry in such a way that your anger is not destructive to you or to others. Do not let the sun set on your wrath." In 2 weeks, our new pastor, Eric Holland, will arrive. Eric was chosen because he was the best candidate for the village pastorship here at Holden. As an ordained pastor of the ELCA, I want to say that Eric has received a call not only from Holden, but from the Holy Spirit of God, just as I received one to this place myself. Eric is an intelligent, compassionate, faithful, committed, steadfast servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We rejoice in his coming. However, we must be aware that when Eric arrives with his partner Daniel, there will be those faithful individuals within the church's synodical ranks who will welcome him with open arms. And there will be those faithful individuals within the synod ranks who will reject him. We must be aware that when Eric arrives with Daniel, there will be members of the Holden community near and far who will welcome him fully and warmly, and there will be those who reject them and us as well. How shall we react to those who reject the pastor whom Holden has called? I hope that we can react with passion and with compassion. How shall we respond to those who reject this place because of the choice which has been made in good faith? I hope that we can react with resolve and with integrity and with a passion that is not destructive, but healing in the end. May we be delivered from wrath at the close of the day. God is preparing us for a new chapter in this Christian community's life. May we prepare for it with passion, love, hope, and steadfast prayer. I'd like to close with an excerpt from a prayer written by a member of St. John's Lutheran Church, Atlanta, the day after ecclesiastical charges were filed against their pastor. The member wrote, "Gracious God, I pray that your light fill us with hope again, fill us with compassion, and fill us with your spirit that speaks the truth in love, love for all your people. Now help us to rest and to wake with the light of day, reminding us that the light shall indeed overcome the darkness. Justice will reign, and all shall be well. and indeed, all shall be well. Our hymn is in Renewing Worship, number 247, 247, O Christ, your heart compassionate.
Please be seated. As we join together in the prayers of the people, I will say, God of love and promise, and your response will be, hear our prayer. Let's join together in prayer. Most holy God, we know you're here. We feel your spirit among us in the music, the word, the sacraments, and through each other. You've promised to be with us always, and we come to you now with our prayers and petitions, claiming that promise. God of love and promise, God of all creation, thank you for our senses and for the good health that allows us to appreciate the world around us. We see you in the sky over Copper Basin and in the daisies that line the path around the hotel. We hear you in the waterfalls and the bird songs. We smell you in the baking bread and the strong morning coffee. We taste you in the mountain water and in the communion wine. We feel your touch in the hugs that welcome new friends and that send away others we've come to love. Make us conscious of our connection to the earth and to each other. Remind us yet again that your will is for all creation to work together in harmony, and we are your instruments in the world. God of love and promise, God of justice, thank you for the freedom we have to gather together for worship and communion. for the absence of war in our country and for the safety and comfort of this vow. We lift up to you those whose lives are disrupted or destroyed by violence wherever they are, in Lebanon or Israel, Iraq, Sudan, and in our country. Protect these children. Give them hope. And even as we pray for wise leaders who will govern without anger or revenge, make us mindful of our privileged status and the responsibility that goes with it. We know we must challenge authority when it's destroying the earth. We know we must fight the hatred and injustice that causes millions of people to live in fear. We know we must share our bounty with those who have so little. We know that we have the good news to share with those who are hurting. God, we know these things. But create in us a passion to move from knowing to acting on behalf of others. And guide our efforts so that we are your instruments in the world. God of love and promise. God of great gifts, thank you for Holden Village. As we face the inevitable coming and going of community members, we give you thanks for each individual, for those we've known only a few days and for those with whom we've spent a long, snowy winter. Thank you for all we share, for worship and work, conversation and community, disagreements and united efforts, and both holy and unholy hilarity. Help each of us to take the spirit and the mission of Holden down the mountain and to do our best to give other people the chance for this life-changing experience. God of love and promise, God, you know the needs and concerns and joys of each person here. Listen now to what else your children pray for. Hear our prayer. God of mercy, thank you for loving us as we are. We bring to you our anger and pride, our pettiness and jealousy, our intolerance and impatience. Help us to put aside all that separates us from one another, to demonstrate your loving acceptance of all people, not just those who love us in return, but also those who turn their backs. Use every part of us to bring your wholeness into the world. We offer to you all that we can be as individuals and as the body of the risen Christ. God of love and promise, we offer these prayers to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet your neighbor with that reconciling peace. This summer's offerings are being divided between the Christian peacemaker teams, groups of Christians from a number of different denominations who go to places like Colombia, Palestine and Iraq to work in whatever ways possible to bring peace and truth to bear, and a Hispanic ministry in San Diego related to our annual Abriendo celebration. We invite you to be generous. Our offertory canticle is As the Grains of Wheat in your worship folder.
Let us pray together using the prayer printed in your worship folder. Merciful God, everything in heaven and earth belongs to you. We joyfully release what you have entrusted to us. May these gifts be signs of our whole lives returned to you, dedicated to the healing and unity of all creation, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Just a word about how we celebrate communion here. Both wine and grape juice are available. Wine is available both by common cup and by individual cup. Grape juice is available by individual cup only. If you would like to receive grape juice, please take one of the individual cups and move to the second pitcher. The first pitcher will contain wine. If you would rather receive a blessing than the elements, we invite you to keep your hands folded as you come to the person with the bread, and you will receive a blessing. Children are welcome to commune at this table. We are a community gathered here by the new birth in Christ, and as such a community, we wish no one to be left out of the celebration at Jesus' table. Jesus dies and is raised again for all people, for all nations and cultures and classes. We wish to welcome all sisters and brothers, regardless of race, economic status, gender, sexual orientation, political or economic viewpoint, education, ability, language. In Eucharist, we meet together at God's table, and Jesus is our host. We continue now with the great thanksgiving printed in your worship folder. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the living God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is our duty and delight that we should everywhere and always offer thanks and praise to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, who comes down from above. And so with the church on earth, all creation and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
are indeed holy, gracious, and merciful, O God, creator of heaven and earth. Everything, everywhere is filled with your glory. We give thanks for the promise you gave to our ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, that through their descendants you would bless the whole family on earth.
We give thanks for the steadfast love you showed to their offspring. You delivered them from Egypt, bound yourself to them in covenant, sent them liberators, prophets, and storytellers, and brought them home from exile. When the time had fully come, you kept your promise by sending Jesus, born of Mary, who in word and deed announced your gentle rule of justice and peace. He was obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you.
Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins.
Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his command that we love one another, we pray for his coming again.
Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that all your promises may come to us and to all creation.
Empower us by that same Spirit to love and forgive, that our lives may anticipate the day when you will make all things new.
Let us pray together that prayer which Jesus taught, using those words which are most meaningful to you. Say them loudly, say them softly, say them in your heart, say them swiftly, say them slowly. But let us pray. Our
Father, who art in heaven.
This is the body of Christ, broken for the mending of all division. Please be seated. We will sing the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, printed in your worship folder, and then we will ask people to come forward to assist in distribution.
I Come With Joy, we'll begin with from Renewing Worship. It's 170, which will be followed by a special music from the choir, Hava Nashira, and then we will sing with one voice, "Eat This Bread, Drink This Cup," 709. Renewing Worship, 170, and with one voice, 709.
Get them back.
The body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in God's grace.
Amen.
We sing Thanks Be to You from your booklet.
Blessed are you, O God of heaven and earth. You satisfy us with good things as an eagle feeds her young. Renew our strength that we may go with eagerness and joy and passion into the places where you send us to work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine on us and be gracious to us. May God look on us with favor and give us peace. Our final hymn is number 724, and with one voice, 724 and...